do with not just advertising, but it has to do with the demolition of the sacred images that we carry in our ancestral memory, relating to the world, relating to nature, relating to animals, relating to, you know, the world order, the world that's around us. It's a tremendous, I consider it an absolute psychic tyranny.
Hmm.
And that's particularly why, you know, I spend so much time teaching children and working with children. And the beautiful thing about is that when you start to show them this, when you start to deal with children in a symbolic way, oh my goodness, there's
they
a tremendous transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that's wonderful.
Yeah, they do.
You know,
they really, really do.
We were having a little bit of problems with my youngest daughter. She was kind of hanging around with the wrong crowd for a minute. And I asked for a symbol and or a sign, and my husband walked out of the front door, and he said he was almost hit by a running deer in our neighborhood. And I live in a suburb, and I've been there for 30 years, and there are no deer. But he jumped, this little deer jumped in my backyard and just kind of felt real afraid and very cornered, and then took off. And also the deer looked at me as I was looking at him or her through the kitchen window. And I felt like if you're always knowing about the symbols and you kind of look for signs, you tend to know what they mean. And for me, you know, I felt that the deer represented that she was delicate, but she was with not in her environment. And so I called her on it, and I was very right. So
that's right. We give our own meaning to the symbols. This is the other beautiful thing of working with symbols, is that there's no A to Z created by some know-it-all about what symbols mean. Why I keep on mentioning for people to work with symbols is because that opens the door to your own inner intelligence, where you start bestowing the meaning, you know, so you're not letting Madison Avenue do it, and you're not letting Big Brother do it, and you're not letting Hollywood do it, you know, and you're not even letting, you know, the artist external to yourself do it. You are opening the door to your own archetypal, you know, family, which is, the tarot is, of course, the greatest. We're talking about symbols. They are the greatest collection of symbols in the world. The tarot is just, it's like one chapter of the greater book of symbolism, is the way I like to describe it. It's the master chapter. But that doesn't mean that somebody cannot associate their own colors, their own vibrations, their own imagery, and make their own tarot, make their own archetypal family of symbols, you know.
Yeah, I think that's why there's so many oracle decks out there, is they've kind of taken the same idea and then just gone a little bit different direction.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. We do have a question from the chat room. Somebody wanted to know since you had talked about Celtic myths and traditions, if you had any knowledge of leprechauns, banshees, fairy folk, elves, and giants.
This is part of the Celtic tradition. And even though the story of all of that has been grossly misinterpreted in later times, it really deals with the energy body. These beings, I also believe, existed. And I believe that these beings may have been pre-diluvian entities, meaning that they lived before the flood. And some of them might have been the result of genetic hybridization, because if people have read my Atlantis book, they'll know that genetic hybridization was really on the cards, you know, prior to 11,000 years ago. We had a major pole shift on this planet around about 13,500 years ago. So prior to that time, genetic hybridization was really the business. These alien forces that invaded our planet were busy doing that. And people who know my work, I talk about the Minotaur and the Centaur and the Unicorn and the Dragon beings. And also, I believe that some of the elves and the dwarves and the goblins and all of these mythological characters also may have been, and the giants, may have been in, the product of genetic hybridization. Now, I also think that if it wasn't genetic hybridization that was the reason for the creation of these beings, especially your caller there was talking about the giants, then there is another reason for those kinds of beings, and that has to do with the radiation fallout of the Great War of the Gods that all the mythologies talk about. So for people who do not know, in the ancient legends, the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, the Norse Edda, even the Mayan codices, you see, they're talking about the great war, the great conflict between the gods. And this was a physical, basically atomic-style war fought with super weaponry, just in exactly the same way that the legends are talking about. Now, what happens when you have a massive war of that kind of scale? You have also radiation fallout. It's well known. And I believe that there was radiation fallout of a massive dimension about 13,000 years ago on this planet. And that this is probably one of the things that caused mutations within the pineal gland and the pituitary and the organs and glands of humanoid beings, creating smallness, dwarfism, and also creating giantism. There may have been nuclear fallout even in ages before 13,500 years ago, and this may have caused even the dinosaurs and the large reptilian lizard-type beings. It may have caused certain clairvoyance, because we know that radiation has all sorts of effects. It may have caused discoloring of the skin, which is why we hear about so many gods being blue, like Krishna was blue,
yeah.
And that, you know, we have Sir Percival being pied, you know, being sort of blotchy. The skin was blotchy.
Mm-hmm.
We have strange cyclopean beings with more than one eye or other deformities. And Irish mythology is full of the deformed gods. They're always talking about the gods who are deformed. And I'm thinking that either this could be for two reasons. One is actual genetic manipulation, or it could be results of the great fallout, one or the two, or both. And today, when people give birth to freaks, when they give birth to, you know, strange-looking children, and some of them can be very bizarre, and, of course, they're sequestered in the backwards of these mental hospitals. Also, these are throwbacks to either crazy genetic experiments that were done in ancient times, or, unfortunately, they also could be the results of these the radiation fallout. So we've got some questions here about the flora and the fauna, and also about these strange, hybrid type of creatures that existed, and also the fairies and so on and so forth. And in Celtic mythology, you have the idea that the gods also are able to change their form, go into their light body, you see, and assume these different kinds of forms. So there's lots of questions here, you know, that need to be answered. Hopefully, maybe I will have a chapter on this in the forthcoming book. I don't know as yet.
I know that, you know, in Sumerian tales, they talk about, some of that, seeding of the planet. But then also in the Bible, you know, there's the stories of these creatures that were, you know, the centaurs and some of these things that were actually, like, created.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say, you know, whether, you know, it might have been a combination. But
I think it was a combination of something, but we can't rule out that if you have an enormous thermo-global nuclear war taking place, then obviously we have after effects. And I don't think this has been looked into at all. In fact, I don't know anyone who's looked into it. First of all, very few people know about these ancient wars. They're very resistant to the mm-hmm. idea that there was ancient civilizations and a war of the gods. But obviously, if you take the myths literally like I basically do,
right.
I have a great faith in our ancestors. I don't believe that they were just sitting around the fire shooting the breeze of an evening because they had nothing better to do. I'm convinced that these were semi-enlightened beings who absolutely had a story to tell, who had been through an unimaginable trauma, who understood that the world of the old was destroyed, just like the Bible is saying,
mm-hmm.
and wanted to try and communicate to us in the way that they were able. But, of course, in those days, they couldn't say radiation fallout. So they would just say the blemishes or the mark of the gods or the mark of the witch, you see.
Right.
They wouldn't know what vernacular to use, so they tried to communicate it as this is an evil thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know that in Irish mythology, maybe the person who sent that question might be interested to know also, that did you know in Irish mythology it was an absolute stipulation that if a king had a single blemish, he could not rule the Celts.
I didn't know that.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I did not know that.
Right. Single rotten tooth or, you know, strange, any kind of a mole or blemish and what have you, and the king could not rule. This is, again, a throwback to the idea that if you had the fallout problem, you see, or maybe you were genetically hybridized, then they wouldn't have you because you were too much alien or whatever. So that in our traditions, we even have this.
Makes sense.
The witches. Yeah, the witch and the whole idea of the witch having that famous devil's mark.
Mm-hmm.
That would then have all the village come out and drag her down and burn her at the stake or whatever. That is also a throwback to the idea that the wise one would bear a mark of hybridization.
Mm.
That the wise one was a creature who was half and half, half alien, you see, half humanoid. There's tremendous symbolism in our, even the little customs that our tribes and villages used to do, but we've forgotten what those actually mean.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know one of the books that I've read over the years that I found most fascinating, it's called The Origins of Man by Edgar Cayce. I don't know if you've ever read that. It's like a classic in my book, you know.
It's a classic.
I have several copies of it because, you know, it went out of print a long time ago. But it does talk about these beings that were, you know, kind of put together. And I think that was the first time they read it in detail, how he described how they were, you know, done that way. But certainly fascinating.
It is. Rudolf Steiner talks about it, and Madame Blavatsky talks about it. If people are interested in this, they should pick up my Atlantis book or the DVD I just did. We just released a DVD a month ago on this called Atlantis, Alien Visitation and Genetic Manipulation. It's the companion to the book. Mm-hmm. It was people, you know, calling me from all around the world, said, you know, are you going to do this as a video or a DVD? And it was through suggestions that finally this year we worked on a whole project to actually, you know, do the book as a DVD. And also, since I wrote the book, there's been new discoveries. So all the stuff that I wanted to put in the book but couldn't is in the DVD, you know. So that's also been released within the last month. It's part of the Origins and Oracle series.
That sounds wonderful. Another question from the chat room. Somebody wants to know when the Tarotscope book series will be available for sale.
They are pretty much ready. I just haven't released them yet. There's reasons for that. There's a lot. I'm a person who does things in very distinct, sections.
Mm-hmm.
And the DVD project I'm telling you about, the Origins and Oracles thing, has taken over 2 years to produce.
Oh, my.
Not to mention the 25 years of research, you know, like I said, my studies. But in order to do the DVD series correctly, it's taken a great deal of time because I wanted to do it in the Joseph Campbell style, which Joseph Campbell was my model.
Oh, yes.
For doing these DVDs, and it had a very specific energy to do these DVDs. Was this, mm-hmm. We talk about adversarial energy.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, you know, and just and it's a monumental task. We've got 22 DVDs in all. There's 6 programs in the Origins and Oracle series.
Holy cow!
Right. So this, you know, and there's been a lot of work meticulously to go into doing it the right way, getting the right team, you know, all the rest of it. So that, and also the Irish Origins book, you know, there's certain priorities that need to be done and got out of the way, and then we're going to release the Tarotscope series, which is, you know, this is a fantastic 6 set also of books, and of course there'll be e-books perhaps as well, dealing with my entire Tarotscopic system. So they're on their way. It's just that, you know, I am a person who believes that each project you do has to be given the full reverence, the beginning, middle, and the end, and, you know, you close it reverently and you move on. So we've just now, within the last 30 days, finished the DVD project, you know, Origins and Oracles, and we have a website too, originsandoracles.com, if people want to go and look at the DVDs. And then now I've got to get the Irish Origins book finalized, and then after that we'll 100% be able to focus then on the Tarotscope series. Mm-hmm. that the question was about.
Okay. Sandy passed me something saying that you're going to be on the, I guess, Sci-Fi Channel on July the 9th?
That's right. The Sci-Fi Channel are doing a 2-hour special on Atlantis, very similar to the one that they did on the Bermuda Triangle last year. And the producer of that, Tim Beecham, it was the most watched program in sci-fi history.
Oh, wow.
The Bermuda Triangle. And, of course, these are syndicated shows, and they had a tremendous response to that.
Hmm.
So what do? They looked for a bigger phenomena, and they're doing one now in Atlantis, which is a remarkable. And I'm glad to see it because this information needs to get out. Now, strangely, don't ask me why, but Tim Beecham had heard of my work. And do you remember when a couple of months ago New York was totally on a standstill because they had that power outage?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, he had read my book at that time and really studied it and wanted me to appear on that show. So they sent a film crew out to do a segment on my work, which is really remarkable because I didn't expect, you know, that to happen.
Wow.
And it was really wonderful. Yeah, they spent a lot of time. He did ask me about the Illuminati. They did ask about the secret societies as well as the concepts of Atlantis. And I'm sitting there thinking, what on earth are you talking to me? I mean, you couldn't get more controversial than this guy. But, you know, remember Sandy was saying earlier about that there's a change, the end of the age of Pisces, that
right.
Even no matter how much resistance exists in the world, you know, there is, you cannot keep a truth down. And it almost seems like this controversial stuff or the conspiracy movement is moving at full steam ahead now, and even Hollywood and even some of these groups are picking up on it, you know, where it's okay. For some of them, it's just a new spin in town. It's just a new vogue thing. But for others, there's a genuine interest. I felt that very much from this producer, that there was a genuine interest. He didn't want some bogus rubbish, you know, rehashing the same old rubbish on Atlantis. He had sought me out, you know, specifically. He was very adamant about that. Said that they were going to give me, you know, time to really talk even on the more controversial issues. So, you know, let's see what they do with it. I mean, I really don't know. But it's going to be on July 9th, actually. So if people want to make a little note on their web, on their inbox calendar, or write it down on their calendar, July 9th, they'll be showing this two-hour special. It's going to be one of the most watched shows in science fiction channel history, so it might be interesting to see how it comes out, you know.
Do you know what time it's supposed to be on?
I don't know. I think it's going to be between 7 and 9, usually the prime time, you know, of the
sci-fi
channel.
That makes sense.
Believe me, they're gonna advertise it massively in the next month or so. If people get onto sci-fi.com, then they'll be able to. And I'll be probably posting updates when I know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get back to me to tell me. I just did an interview for their sci-fi magazine, so there's also going to be an article in their magazine which people should check out as well. Mm. It's just great to see that, you know, that there's still an interest in this subject.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and what's the web address for your blog as well?
It's MSAR. Actually, you know what people need to do is just go to themichaeltesarian.com. Instead of writing down all these hard-to-spell websites, just go to my, because I got so many of them, you know.
Yeah.
And people say, hey, we didn't get enough time to write that down. So just go to michaeltesarian.com, and you'll find links there to all my other websites, to Taroscopes, to Origins and Oracles, to the blog, to Timescopes, which is a numerology website that I have, which is getting a lot of attention right now. We made some major updates there. So if they just go to michaeltesarian.com, then they'll be able to navigate from there to all the other relevant sites.
Mm. Well, this has been the most fascinating interview that we've had yet. And Sandy was so excited about this. So definitely going to have you come back in the future, and especially when some of these new updates come out. And maybe after the sci-fi special airs, and we'll have some more questions for you. But we're so happy that you were able to come on, and wish you luck with your Taroscope series and also with Origins. And thanks so much for coming on.
You're most welcome, Laura and Sandy. Thank you very much for giving me the time. I appreciate it.
Very, very well worth the time.
You have a great day. Okay, well, let's move on. since we are, gosh, at the end of the show here already, it's hard to believe this went so fast and just kind of whipped right by, didn't it? 2 hours, just poof.
You know what? He's not a novel. He's like an encyclopedia. I mean, the whole set.
Yeah, he pretty much is. That just kind of blew me away for sure. But my goodness, he's somebody that you could probably sit down and listen to, and he could he could tell you so many stories, and you know, with your cup of tea and a scone or something, and you'd hear the whole mythology tale.
And the way he talks about Tarot, it makes me feel more confident, because I do have a lot of people that are scared of my cards and they think there's something wrong with me. And same thing with you, you know, but he makes it feel like it should. Like it's holy. And and they used to, he was saying something about, well, not on this interview, but in a different interview, that hollow earth meant holy, and go to the place of the hollow earth to pray and visit the oracles. But they changed the word from hollow to holy.
Huh.
And can you imagine nowadays saying, let's go and...
Yeah, All Hallows Eve.
Oh, that's right. Hello.
But can you
calling up your relatives and saying, let's go visit the oracles. You know, I can't wait until we can
kind
say that.
Kind of a trek, yeah.
Yeah.
It used to be quite a trek.
Well, the oracles should be right there at the palm of your hand, see?
Just like the Palm Pilots, huh?
That's right.
You know, you have a bad psychic when they read your Palm Pilot instead of your palm. Well, next week we have Stanton Friedman coming on, and of course he is the reigning expert on the Roswell incident, Roswell, New Mexico. And he's got a book out, Top Secret Magic. Excellent book. I'm reading it right now. So you'll want to make sure you come on for that. And then Thursday on Full Moon Mayhem, we have Kevin Sercombe. He's going to talk to us about orbs, spirit orbs, and all kinds of different colors. He's written a book on it, actually. I think it's the only book I've ever seen written on spirit orbs. So you'll want to make sure that you tune in for that. And we got a scoop, because this is the end of it here. And it's been great, guys. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you on Thursday for Full Moon Mayhem. www.omnisavradio1.net.
Missed all.